like to say that I'm very thankful to be with you this morning. I'm thankful that we're able to, those of us, to get out, and thankful for those that are listening, and thankful for the gospel of Christ. And I'm very thankful for all of God's blessings. I had a message that was kind of put upon my heart, and it kind of, I don't know if I use the word eclipse, but they're doing a study, Tuesday night study, on gems and things, or properties, and also how they're in the scriptures, how it's used in the scriptures for description of breastplates and, you know, foundations and different things. And so I was thinking about things that were, that last, things that are immovable. Things that in the gospel that God uses to tell us that He doesn't change, that His gospel is the same, and that we endeavor to in the restored gospel, especially to revere the soundness of God's truth, and we try the best that we can with His gospel, don't we? But yeah, we know when God does something perfect. God does something perfect. His gospel is perfect. His church is perfect. A man can do things and can mess things up. But God's way is perfect. And we look to His way, His truth, His light, His foundation, that we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. And so I was looking at a sure foundation, looking at things that are true and immovable and steadfast that we're to depend upon, you know, in our spiritual lives, our lives of worship, that we can depend upon, which brings us hope. Depending upon a God that does not change brings us hope and strength of the things that matter in this life, the things that matter and that also bring joy. But looking at a sure foundation, and you know, I know that these are poured wall, if you will. That's how, the way they do these things these days. You know, the one on the left, for whatever shape or form house, and it looks rather peculiar to me, but I'm not the one building it. But regardless, and they put it on a nice footing, and pour the walls, and hopefully it lasts, and hopefully it's not in an earthquake zone, you know, a volcano nearby, or whatever the matter. But they've tried to make a sure foundation about things. If we look in archaeology and look throughout the, you know, there are buildings that have been built thousands of years ago that still stand today. You know, and there's a lot of them that we may say that have been that tore down have been because of wars, because of destructions, maybe cataclysms, maybe floods, maybe armies coming against them. Maybe even at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when shapes of the earth were changed, or from before the flood, big buildings such as Babel, you know. Well, of course that would have been after, but regardless, and that, but things that will last, and we know the gospel of Christ will last, and the Lord says that He sends forth His word from His mouth. It will not return to Him void. And so, we see the one, I don't know if the one, I've seen that picture before, the one on the right, and there's no foundation because it's wedged between two rocks. Do you see that? I wouldn't want to live in that house, you know, whatever the matter it may be. Is that a true house? I don't know. I've seen it many times. I can't tell you that it's true, but He has no foundation to it. It's just wedged between two rocks. And but just didn't have a foundation to it. Is a true picture, not neither here nor there. But anyway, it didn't have a foundation. It's just like many people that seem to think that they're very solid in this world, and they seem to know where they are going, and seem to think that in this life they have it all figured out. And their decision is all that there is there, and this life is all that there is, and they have no foundation really, and place all that there is all their hopes and dreams in all that is here. And that's very, it's kind of a sad place to be, only making their happiness and their joy within temporal things, physical things around them, and no foundation, which doesn't bring us true joy, does not bring us hope, you know, especially in eternity. Especially in eternity, which has no end. When God has given us the essentials, He's given the working tools unto salvation, given us the purpose and sacrifice for eternal salvation, the way, the truth, and the life, the path, the lamp, Jesus Christ. The Lord has used things that we can see and touch and taste and feel to help us understand the lasting value in the truth that He declares. He's used many examples as we were looking at the armor of God here in a past sermon. Okay? He was using armor to protect. But we know that these things are spiritual. They're strong, but they're spiritual. But He used something that is strong and lasting with be able to withstand. Okay? And so we're going to look at another avenue of that which is strong and everlasting. Okay, using an element of something that we seek and see and taste and touch. And so, one such substance we can see around us is rock. You know, like I said, this comes to mind. You know, especially because of the study they were doing lately, because of the gems, the hardness of gems, the purity in gems. That are together in an element that looks pure, but yet we know that there are flaws, and with anything, there's still a flaw that's within this world. There's still a flaw. With God, there is no flaw. But we see pieces of God's handiwork, you know, through these elements to make these precious gems that people value. And there's things that people put such a value on from the beginning of time that have caused a lot of destruction, or beauty, or such as gold, you know, something like that. It's pretty. It could be useful. It can be used for things, or it can also be used to cover it, to hoard, to cause evil in people's hearts in order to covet it, to want it, to and everything to have it, to hoard it, and. Or it can be used to be adorning things, you know, such as the workings of the Temple of Solomon, or the Ark of the Covenant, for worship's sake, okay, as a tool. And so, but something, things that are hard, that are lasting, and so on, we take a look at. And one thing we can see around us is rock, how hard it is. Its properties, hardness, durability, usefulness, long-lasting, withstanding of the elements. As I speak those words about just a simple piece of rock, think of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think of the gospel of Jesus Christ, its properties, you know, such as a diamond, facets, when they cut these small pieces or a little, they kind of end up looking like little triangles, but they're facets. As they're cut to make a diamond sparkle, and especially as you turn it, and it's kind of a it shines from one angle or another according to the light, but they're facets in a diamond. And the gospel of Christ, think about that. It's hardness to endure the usefulness of the gospel of Christ in our life, unto faith, to believe, to have hope, to have joy, to have foundation, to have life, not only here, but life eternal, to have blessing, long-lasting. It helps us to endure in this life, doesn't it? The gospel of Jesus Christ, with all of these properties, to help us to endure, long-lasting. God's word endureth forever. The withstanding of the elements. There are the trials of this life. There are the situations and problems and calamities and or joys. There are the withstanding of the elements of time. There is the tests, the temptations of this life that come upon us in God's Word. Enduring, lasting, will help us endure the elements. We're going to take them going. Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended and the floods came. The winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And because it was prepared, it was thought out, and it was prepared. And because they used that which was enduring, everlasting, it was true. And it was to be built upon, go on upward, that it will last upon the elements. His gospel truth declared and put into practice through faith. If we say that we know His gospel, if we say that we know about His salvation, if we say that we know about Jesus Christ, and if we don't use His ways, if we don't use His tools, we're just like sitting in the driveway, we start up the engine on the car, and we rev that thing for all it's worth, but we never put it into gear. We never go anywhere. We never do anything with it. Like paying insurance for nothing, right? But then we find everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. We seem to see these pictures about every year, and I don't know why, you know, they have any houses left in California. It seems to me like there's always in California, they're on the pitfall of this, that, or the other. And when the rains come, when the floods come, and so on, or somebody's built this mansion on the side of a hill, or on the side of a sand pit, whatever the matter. Of course, we know from hurricanes and different areas of the coastal regions, you know, that yes, hurricanes and those things can take them. I don't know why they're building some of these hotels on the sand beaches of some of these tropical, well, prone to hurricanes, let's say. And anyway, insurance must be astronomical for those places. But regardless, but if we don't, here, this is very simple. We learn this in our Sunday schools, don't we? We say very simple, but many people say it, hear it, look at it, and know this parable, but don't do it. And doeth them not. And doeth them not. Don't practice the very tenets of the very gospel of Christ. For righteousness' sake, for forgiveness' sake, for kindness' sake, for charity, any of those, and don't do with them. The very basic building blocks of the gospel. Revving the car in the driveway, not going anywhere. 1 Peter 2, 6 and 7, talking of Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. This is Jesus Christ, of course. They will not be confounded. They will not be confused. They will not be persuaded otherwise. Not go back out into derision or darkness or the mists of darkness, such as Lehi's vision. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Who were the builders disallowed? Who were those builders that disallowed him? Jesus Christ. Who were those builders? We read about them in the scriptures this morning, didn't we? Those of the old law. Those that he had lent out the vineyard to. Those who were supposed to be tending and taking care of the sheep were those of the thieves and robbers that were coming in and stealing and destroying the flock of the Lord. The elders of Israel or or the Sanhedrin, or scribes and Pharisees, if you will. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. They disallowed Christ. They disallowed him. They did everything they could to destroy him physically. They did everything they could to destroy and to physically take away his gospel, just like we were reading about them trying to destroy and take away the Apostle Paul. They think to destroy that man would destroy the Word of God. When God had said himself, like Jesus said himself, the Lord is able to raise up of these stones the children of Abraham. In other words, he's able to do his own work. And we have, those are the angels that come too, that to proclaim unto the children of men the gospel words. And there are those that he is sending that are of his bidding, of his angels, and those that are upon the earth declaring the gospel that are not of flesh and blood yet today, still proclaiming his gospel. Matthew 21:42. Jesus said to them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. Is it marvelous in our eyes? Pointing it out to them, telling them of this prophecy. Just like quoting them to the words of Isaiah, quoting them to the words of Malachi, quoting them the words of Genesis, quoting the words of the words of Moses. Speaking to them from their own law that they revere. And they revere that physical law, the way that it was done, in its staleness and deadness, than the Spirit of life that was standing before them, the Creator of mankind. The stone which the builders rejected, they could build his church, his people. He become the head of the corner, Jesus Christ. And that revealment, he says, isn't it marvelous in our eyes? Standing before them. Acts 4:11. We find this is so neat. Jesus wanted us to know this so much. And I wanted to list these at least. We won't go to them. Like Acts 4:11. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders. So the words of Paul, as he was telling them, and he was giving them his oratory, you might say, his admonition, his passion for the gospel of Christ, which has become the head of the corner. We also find that in Isaiah 28:16. We find that in Mark 12:10, Luke 20:17. We have, you know, here we find something really neat. In each proportions of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and so on, Acts, different portions of the eyewitnesses that were putting down their testimonies of what they saw. Now, some saw parts of one thing, and they wrote them down for posterity. Others saw other portions, and they wrote that down from their memories, okay? And they're to be put together to give more of a rounding of understanding and a completeness for us today. And here we find, of all these references, there's these five references, and I believe there's more yet, but not in this close context. Become the chief cornerstone, Jesus the Christ. He wanted us to know this, didn't he? Matthew 16:16-18, we have a question to Peter. And he said to them, for whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now this is really neat, and also something to pay attention to, because some would like to put Peter in a position of great authority at the beginning of a certain church that we are not going to even go into over. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay. I say unto thee, but thou art Peter. This is who you are. You are Peter. And upon this rock, or what is it? The question I just answered you, or asked you, and that which you answered me, I will build my church. This rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock of revealment of the Lord himself, and a revelation from the Lord himself that Jesus is the Christ. And we could even say of the Holy Spirit that is to reveal the will of God and the purpose and the presence of God in our life by entering in by the way. Now, the Holy Spirit had been through transcending time, witnessing and testifying of the Father and of the Son. But then we have the indwelling Comforter that is to dwell with you, to teach you, to lead you into life eternal. At all things that he has told us and of the gospel. And the reality of that very premise and message that God is true and his work is true and you know it in your mind and your heart. But the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and his word will not fail, and his word will be there at the very end of judgment day to declare where the benchmark is and where we have been and where our life did or did not measure up to it. Because his word shall never, never pass away, just like the hymn states. We need an immovable foundation to build our life upon. I want to keep that, that's that theme I was put upon my heart about an immovable foundation to build our life upon. Now the foundation, even the object I showed you in the very beginning, they will shift and change over time. We find even in our homes there are cracks in our foundations, don't we? And there are those that have to get them repaired, and the foundations and this and that, and that they will change. They will shift from when they were originally designed. I'll just guarantee that you put a level on your foundation is not where it was when they first built the house. And if it shows dead on level from when you first built the house, it may not have been level when they started out and kind of sunk into being level, because things change. Okay? Have you ever felt a rumbling of any sort in the neighborhood and your whole house shook? Okay? They even have tie downs. We had to put hurricane tie downs on the foundation back here, didn't we, Rick? You know, when we were building back here, hurricane tie downs, because you don't want the thing to blow off like strong winds today. And we need an immovable foundation to build our life upon. And so, 1 Corinthians 3:11, no other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Speaks volumes, doesn't it? Of the volumes of books, it says there is no end, said Solomon in his Proverbs. No other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, his only beloved Son, came to pave the way unto eternal salvation. If we will but listen, if we will but hear, if we will but utilize the words of his gospel, the words of his truth, having that foundation in our life to help us to endure the storms of life. There's been houses that I've walked into that, you know, I thought to maybe, you know, they have these house flipping shows and things, and you could flip a house. And I've walked into houses before. I haven't done that many, but there's some that I can walk around downstairs. I usually start downstairs, and I'll say, well, how's the foundation? How's the furnace? How's the electrical? And how's the plumbing? And if things are a disaster there, what do you think the rest of the house is going to be like? And I've seen where water's already pouring through the walls, you know, and this is not a good sign. I don't feel like starting there. The plumbing is a disaster. It's already froze. It's already broke. People, you know, and those within my hearing already know about what frozen pipes are about. And I've had frozen pipes before, too. And regardless, built to take the elements. And so, you start starting with the foundation. And so anyway, that of Jesus Christ, no other better foundation than Jesus Christ, that will help you to endure, that will give you the tools to be able to weather, to decide, you know, in the ways of life, the tempests, the temptations, the trials. It is said that we're not going to go through this life without trials or without temptations. Jesus came and he, looking through his gospel, we can see that he faced all those things. And then telling them that he loved them after the many blessings and the miracles that he performed. And then yet they crucified him. And yet, upon the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He always was the Son of God. He always is the Son of God. He always will be the only begotten Son of God. The only Savior that mankind could ever have. There is none other but Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his gospel does not evolve or change from one thing to another. That same foundation it before is the same foundation that we have today. We do not want to do an update. Not now. Especially not now. But the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his gospel and his words will all match. If there are books, there are histories that are going to come forth in these the latter days unto the faithful. Those are looking forward to these other words. But guess what? They will match. If they are of God himself, they will match what we have. Any other records of the Book of Mormon that we say that might come forth, of a sealed portion somewhere, they will match what we have unto the glory of God. They will not give glory to a man. They will not give glory to others, but to Jesus Christ, and to testify of his mercies and love for mankind. Okay. This is not good. There you go. James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That is so neat. Once again, it speaks to us of that which is unchanging, unmoving, that which is steadfast, that which is sure, that which can be built upon. Number one, that God gives gifts. They are going to be perfect gifts. What God gives is perfect. Every good gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights. He doesn't vary. He's not going to say one thing one day and say another thing another day. That we can depend upon, that we can have hope, that we can have joy. That we depend upon in this life, and for him to take care of us, to give us the answers to our prayers, to take care of our families, to take care of our workplaces, take care of us in times of peril and trouble. But there's neither shadow of turning. He's closer than the shadow of our turning. And his presence is certainly closer than the shadow of our turning within the indwelling of his precious witness, the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 2nd chapter 20th verse, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." This is Jesus the Christ. We have access that he paid for at the cross. Paid for through his death and resurrection. "Now therefore you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We are fellow citizens with the saints. Not a statue that's been canonized for someone that has had just impeccable works out there, and later on they thought, well, you know, let's make a statue to them, and then, you know, by and by people start praying to them. No, a saint that has bowed their will through Jesus Christ to the Father. But you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. And here we find the foundation in the Church of Christ. We still believe in the office of apostle. And we believe in prophecy. Not the office of prophet, but we believe in prophecy. That God will speak in whom through he will to deliver his words according to that which is written, it will be true. It will be true. But Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, once again, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So something immovable, your life, your foundation, immovable, strong and steadfast, not wavering. Do not waver in your beliefs. Do not waver in your gospel. We may come to a more perfect understanding in things. Our foundation is sure. Sometimes the way we view things, though, in the gospel, be it non-salvation issues on maybe how the old temple was constructed, or how a piece of the inner portion was used in the brazen laver, or something of different, as it may be a non-salvation issue, we may come to a more perfect understanding upon. Okay, the way that the book of Revelations is going to play out. There are many people that have different educated views on how Revelations is going to play out in the world. We may come to a more perfect understanding or mature understanding upon it, you see. But the foundation is sure and will never change. And that building fitly framed together unto a holy temple of the Lord. You being a holy temple unto the Lord is what's precious. But that habitation of God through the Spirit within you, that is what's precious. We must recognize our gospel foundation we must lay through Jesus Christ to build upon. Hebrews 6, 1-3, we've stated this many times. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, meaning we've been there, we've laid it, we're going on, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and for faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permit. With that foundation in our life, knowing that judgment is sure and eternal, of resurrection that Jesus Christ paid for, and that we shall be brought forth unto a judgment, once again through Jesus Christ, of the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, wherein that we have entered in by the way that we would receive the witness, the presence of the Father and the Son, because we have partaken of the covenant of baptism by immersion, coming with him all the way in the water and being fully baptized or immersed. And because we have repented and we have given to him, we have turned away from the world and turned to God, and we have pledged and we have covenanted with him through repentance that we will have repented. And if we ever stray, that we shall repent and come into accord with him, because he's faithful to forgive us. We don't have the right not to forgive another, because he says, if you don't forgive another, we will not be forgiven. We don't have the right to harbor those things, because it causes a logjam also in our own life to our faith. And it is a principle. It is the doctrine of Christ, as we also find 2 Nephi in the 13th chapter. Very powerful, very concise, and wonderfully laid out of the gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, but no other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wooden, hay, and stubble. Now look at those properties. Gold, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What's the difference? Some of them are harder than others. Some of them have different heat ratio or not, or certain, where they will melt, you know, certain melting points, right? And we see that gold or silver has a certain melting point. It's talking about in the study Tuesday night. It's going to be very good. Precious stones have a certain melting point, which is probably higher, much higher. Okay, and they find many precious stones around volcanoes because the heat's much, much higher. Wood, hay, and stubble. You're going to talk about 200 some degrees. You're going to have wood, hay, and stubble that's going to melt away. So he's equating this to his truth. His truth will decide which is lasting and which is not lasting, which is foundational gospel material that we hang on to throughout our life. And there are some things that our understanding is, or things that are not salvation based, maybe in our life, that we sometimes we may put a great value on it, but it's not salvation based or salvation worthy, if you will. And our understanding may be coming into more perfected as we go on under perfection. And there's a lot that can be said about this. But it shall be refused. Every man's work shall be made manifest or made known, for the day shall declare it, the day of judgment, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Though things that are true, that are everlasting, you've placed in your life that have been on a sure foundation that are true. And it is the work of God, the word of God in his judgment that will be held accord in account of what we have done and every man's work of what sort it is. We need to understand is what we must change to come into unity with the Lord's plan for us. And as we see, this is the picture of Jesus at the door. He's knocking on the door. The door has no handle. Why? You have to be willing to open it. Absolutely. Our heart cannot be hardened against him and others practicing anger, unforgiveness, pride, or pridefulness in our life. We can go on in righteous indignation and pressing upon others, not being forgiving and loving and so on. How can God work with you or live in you? You see, if we're not willing, if these traits of practice anger, unforgiveness, and pride, and there's other things we're not going to go into. How can God work with you? How can we be professing or a Christian? How can others know that we're a Christian? How can we hope that others will not be there for us if we were practicing those things? How will others know of the love and the gospel of Christ if we're practicing these things and they don't know that we're a Christian? Even wearing the world's camouflage. James 1, 20 through 25. We're going to briefly look there. James 1, 20 through 25. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We're good at deceiving ourselves, lest our heart is open to receive the Spirit of the Lord to direct our faith and faithfulness. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A doer of the work. We look in and we read the word, we hear the word. Are we doing it? Are we revving the engine, not putting it in gear? What are we doing? We have to look at us as how God would see us. Do we practice with others, how we want God to practice with us. We want God to deal with us in anger, unforgiveness, in pride, in deceit, or covetousness. Would we want God to deal with us this way? No, not for a second. How would you want others to treat you? We'd want them to treat us with kindness, with understanding, with forgiveness, wouldn't we? Just think about that, how God will, you know, he says, that which you do send out shall return to you again. But the engrafted word, Galatians 5, 13 through 17, we're going to turn there for a moment. I just have a couple of them that we're turning to. Most of them are written out, of course. 13 through 17, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. To serve one another. Jesus, remember the night that he was betrayed, that he washed even their feet. Oh, that's something. It's one thing, here's something to think about that, a foot washing ceremony. It's one thing to wash one another's feet, but think about it. For you to sit there and have someone wash your feet, it has to be an act of humility as well. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye are not consumed one another. Once we start practicing those things, we start weeding out our brothers and sisters and our friends and that spirit of anger, then who's left? Once we start throwing them out to the side, who's left? When you go through your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your family, who's left but you? It's also a lonely thing, and that's the devil's work. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Let's go 22 through 26. The fruit of the Spirit, or the workings of the Spirit in your life, is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. The Spirit of the Lord is going to draw you to His throne. The Spirit of the Lord is going to draw you to these attributes of the gospel of Christ. Think about where the Spirit of the Lord is leading you in your life to do. It even talks about in the Book of Mormon, the evil spirit teacheth a man that he must not pray. He says, pray always and faint not. Where is the Spirit leading you? Or what? And so we must be careful of those things. The fruit of the Spirit. Where is it drawing? Where is it leading? Where are our efforts? Where are our substances and decisions being placed? Are being placed in the investment of mankind or the investment of things? In 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And I like this picture because this fellow looked like he'd been laboring with all of his might throughout his life. And then Jesus was going to carry him the rest of the way, especially at the judgment seat. To me, he said, Father, they are worthy to enter in a good and faithful servant, laboring with all of our mights. Do we do that? You know, and sometimes the way is tough. Sometimes the way is difficult. A lot. Sometimes it takes all of our spiritual strength. And you know, when we're out of strength in the gospel, reach out for a brother and sister. Reach out to be helped, to be strengthened, for counsel. Reach out to your God. Pray with all your might, mind, and strength. There are some men's desires. There are some men's desires. But yet there's God's plan. Some men's desire to sit down. I'm not trying to say this man, this was his desire. That may have just been his job. It's just a picture that I found. But do people want to sit and count the wealth? To sit in the middle of the gold pile? Spend their life to look for the gold pile, to look for the end of the rainbow, to look for the bigger house. But is this some people's desires? To build a bigger barn. But Jesus said, "Thou fool, for tonight thy soul is required of thee." Then whose things shall those things be, right? Exactly. But God's plan, and we see, if you look close enough, we see it looks like the depiction of Christ coming for his children and these people in their different walks of life, but it looks like in this depiction, they are coming up to Christ. They are looking for him and they are going up in judgment. And just as a depiction, I thought it was a really neat picture. And it's one of the frame that I had for us. And then to remember that you're talking about sure foundation, talk about a sure plan in God's life. Remember man's building. God was not pleased with that. God was not pleased with what man built because they were trying to reach God, reach heaven as one, doing that which was not pleasing unto the Lord at all. But we know that God's building through Jesus Christ and through the power of the resurrection, that stone cut out of the mountain without hands. Jesus Christ becoming the head of the corner. That's God's work. That's God's building. And that is a sure foundation that we will not fail if we depend upon it and we stand upon it and build our lives upon it. I thank you for your love and for your prayers this morning. So can we use